Don't fucking test me about parrot fish, man. That's one of my favorite species.
Those are two of your favorite things, parrots and fish.
Yes. They're so beautiful, too. They got little beaks. It's just, I want a parrot fish.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I am also your host, Cassie, and I know just enough.
You do know just enough, Cassie.
Uh-huh.
Just enough to know what we're doing, but not enough for me not to be able to make prefaces with you every episode.
Nope. You see, because the wonderful, beautiful thing about me and my brain is that I forget so much, except for the things that really make me angry.
It's like a steel cage, by which I mean it definitely can hold some stuff in, but some things slip right through the bars.
Big plot points, those hang on, but like little minnows of memory just right
well,
through.
Well, it's good that you remember those big plot points, because today, as we start series six.
Did I say big plot points? I mean the ones I like. Not really important things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe this will be one of the things that you remember as we start series six, because today you're going to meet the Silence.
Yay.
As you've heard a couple of times, people have told the Doctor the Silence will fall.
That's a thing. That's not just Silence. Not me going,
Yes,
they misspelled Silence.
The Silence is indeed a species in of alien that you are going to meet today.
We're off to a wonderful start.
Yes, I don't know if that's technically a spoiler, but I don't think it's a big, even if it is, it's not a big enough one that I'm too worried about it. Today we're going to watch the series six opener, The Impossible Astronaut and the Day of the Moon. What might you be expecting from an episode called The Impossible Astronaut?
I don't know. Is this the prefacy, or no, is this just curious?
Chat. It's just me curious what The Impossible Astronaut says to you. Like if you were just to sit down and watch something called The Impossible Astronaut, what might you be expecting this time?
We just watched Dogs in Space, so I would say it's something that shouldn't.
The Impossible Astronaut?
Yes. It's an aminal. It's a dog. It's a chimp. It's I think they sent I want to say there was a frog at one point. Do I get? I know that this isn't a prefacy.
Yeah, this is just a vibe check more than anything.
Well, because there is something about the term impossible astronaut that really is like very captivating to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to unpack as to why that particularly is very captivating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot.
It does just raise some questions. Like, what do you mean impossible? And how is it impossible?
Because
astronaut?
Even the very thought of shooting like humans dozens of miles through the atmosphere and then into the space around our planet. That's already very impossible to me.
Mm-hmm.
Landing on the moon. The fact that there is a dark side of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Pink Floyd album, which also fucking, that's such a good name for it. A Dark Side of the Moon. Oh, it's captivating. It's interesting.
The second episode is called The Day of the Moon.
Fuck. Okay. So I'll just pocket that half-baked thought I have, right? Shoop, just put it away and forget about it forever. But there is something like so mystifying about like, astronauts are already impossible. So what's even more impossible than an astronaut? An impossible astronaut.
That's like twice as impossible.
Oh my God.
That's like a Kim Possible level impossible.
No, Kim Possible, very possible. These are like Grimace being not scary levels of possible.
Well, just from, I mean, you did mention the moon landing. Do you think that might have something to do with the day of the moon?
Because you're bringing it up, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do, actually. I've learned something about how you like to pick apart my little brain, Zach. Okay.
So what might you be thinking? Let's just go with that thought then. What sort of adventure do you think might happen involving the Doctor and the moon landing?
Well, particularly, I feel like something that the writers of Doctor Who would like chew on and really like unpack is that so many people, particularly, and I don't know if this is just sanctioned in America, but how so many people think that the moon landing is fake.
Yeah.
And specifically, there's like, I'm sure it's out of context. Mm-hmm. I am like 99% sure that this clip is out of context. But there is an interview that Buzz Aldrin did like years ago where he's like, yeah, that's impossible. How could we have landed on the moon? And I'm like, I don't know where that, because it was in one of those like conspiracy videos that Facebook really loves to feed to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I need to live. And I like 50% of it, I'm like, that's fact. This is truth.
The internet thinks you're just constantly on the cusp of totally losing your marbles.
It's not wrong. But I would have to imagine that it has to do with that. The moon landing and either how it was or wasn't faked, because that, what a bold statement for the BBC to be like, oh, no. It was faked. It was all the Doctor's fault.
The Doctor just took him to the moon.
Yeah. They did not go to the moon. The ship exploded on impact.
It was just that's the British taking credit for the moon landing, was making it the Doctor's responsibility.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like I said, it would be quite a bold statement.
Now, that would be hilarious if the British Empire was now trying to retroactively claim moments in time,
like not through just, the Doctor,
not just putting flags in other countries. They're like, nope, 1969 is our year now.
My God, they take credit for Walt Disney.
To all who come to this happy place, and just in the background, you see a man in a fez running around.
Yeah, absolutely. The Doctor was the person who took Walt to his first train, and he's like, oh no. I love this.
Incredible.
Thank you, Doctor Who.
Well, let's
for feeding me my hyperfixation trains.
Well, let's get into the proper profassy here for the impossible astronaut. This story features the Doctor, Amy, Rory, and River in it. All four members of the party are all here today, and one of them gets shot. Which one do you think gets shot, Cassie?
Oh no, not this question again. Because you said gets shot, not gets killed.
Yeah,
somebody simply gets shot.
Someone gets shot.
River.
You think River gets shot?
I think so.
Okay, so
why
we'll
not?
All right, so Cassie's first profassy is that in this episode, River Song gets shot.
Yeah, she's simply getting shot. We don't know with what. We don't know how.
Yeah, I leave that open just because I try not to give too much away in these profassies, but I do try to give you something that you can at least go.
Well, it's vague. Yeah. That's unfair, but whatever.
Well, I try to leave it vague so you can enjoy the story. Speaking of vague, this one's got a few choices here. You might need to pull your phone out
for
this one.
What is the Doctor's favorite color? What's he got in his pockets?
In addition to those four I mentioned, this story also features a special guest character whose last name is one of the 14 states along the East Coast.
Fuck you.
I had a real difficult time coming up with profassies for these two episodes.
You don't say.
So I tried to find something that was possible, but not necessarily going to be spoiler territory.
Yeah, and you know I don't know the map of the eastern United States.
You're more than welcome to look up.
I'm going
the
to.
14 states on the east, not just like in the east, they're specifically along the East Coast.
Could you imagine Dr. Florida?
Hello, my name is Dr. New Jersey. So
Dr. Delaware. Dr. North Carolina. I do like the idea of Dr. Florida. I do not under any circumstance think it's Dr. Florida.
All right.
Is it Dr. Florida?
I mean, you'll have to find out when we watch the episode.
Is it a doctor? Did I?
All right, no, it's not
a doctor. Okay. Mr. Mrs. Mr. Can I have that much?
I'll say Mr. Sure.
Mr. Thank you. Mr. Maine. Mr. New Hampshire. Mr. Massachusetts. Mr. Rhode Island, Mr. Connecticut, Mr. Jersey, Mr. Delaware. That's Mr. Maryland, Mr. Virginia, Mr. North Carolina, Mr. South Carolina, Mr. Georgia, or Mr. Florida. I really love Mr. Florida.
Mr. Florida is a drug addict. Mr. Florida is doing bath salts and running naked in the streets.
Did you know that that's just it wasn't actually bath salts? That's literally just the street name for that particular type of PCP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fun fact.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I just assumed there was something specific to bath salts that I didn't know about.
No, because bath salts are 9 times out of 10 just smelly Epsom salts.
Makes sense.
You can't really smoke an Epsom salt and have it make you.
I didn't think they had smoked it. I thought they had like cocained it, like snorted it.
Even still, it's just sodium. That's
fair.
You know, it's not going to do anything. Yeah. But yeah, bath salts was just the street name for that particular type of PCP. The more you know.
I also say, in addition to Mr., I think you could also call him Special Agent if you want to.
Special Agent Florida. Agent 0069.
Special Agent Texas. Obviously, that's not one of the 14.
I know.
I'm just having fun with other ones. Special Agent Montana.
Well, because I know that Georgia is actually a name.
Yeah.
I know one.
Okay.
So Georgia is definitely in the running.
Okay. It's one of your finalists.
But I like alliteration, too. And I feel like if they were being silly, they'd say, we like alliteration, too.
Okay. Special Agent South Carolina.
Well, Maine, Massachusetts, Maryland, Florida. Just for shits and giggles, I will say it's Florida.
Florida.
I know I'm wrong, but I also know that it. Fuck, that's really funny.
Hey, well, I'm Special Agent Florida.
My name is Special Agent Florida. Yeah. I know that if it is Florida, I'll be so happy. And if it's not, I'll say, better look next time.
All right. Well, let's find out together if in this episode, River Song gets shot and if there's a Special Agent Florida as we watch The Impossible Astronaut.
The man car doesn't give a fuck about the comedy rule of threes, because the man car's in space now, burning a V-12 engine through the cosmos to kick some alien ass. We've decked out the man car with asteroid steel plating, replaced the cup holders with laser cannons, and swapped out the truck nuts for Neil Armstrong's actual balls. So watch out, alien scum, because you're about to get teabagged with Neil Armstrong's actual balls. The man car, because in space, no one can hear you scream over the sound of this engine.
And we are back from The Impossible Astronaut. So they weren't, it wasn't a dog.
What? It wasn't a dog.
It was a little girl. And while
they
get shot at the end of the episode
by a pregnant Amy Pond,
by a pregnant. And I guess that little girl also shoots the doctor in 40 years, 50 years.
I mean, I guess I'll find out if she's still a little girl or because I'm almost certain it's not. And it's somebody else who's shooting the doctor and it's probably going to be the doctor shooting himself. And
wibbly wobbly timey wimey bullshit.
I hate it. And then River brought up the thing that just really tears me to shreds, that one day she's gonna meet the doctor and he's gonna look at her and have the foggiest idea who she is, and that'll be the day, or and that's what's gonna kill her.
And it's the first day we met her
and it's the day she died.
Yep.
Ugh. It just hurts.
but you were incorrect. It was not Agent Florida. The episode does largely take place in Florida.
Yeah, I'm approximate Lee correct.
Yeah, you as I think I had described it, you're good at making the tea leaves, but you're not great at reading them.
No.
You could deal out the tarot cards, but sometimes you're not sure which direction they're in.
Yeah.
Yep. So it was not River that got shot. River does some shooting in this episode, but she doesn't.
Oh my God, River with a revolver.
It is the Doctor that gets shot, and it is Special Agent Delaware. Kenton Everett Delaware III.
Which is, I am glad I just really dug my heels into the ground with Florida, because the other like big strong contender for me was Massachusetts.
Okay.
So if I'm going to be wrong, I'd rather be wrong in a funny way. Kenton Delaware.
Yeah. So what do you think of this first?
This Nixon was way too tan.
You didn't appreciate the Nixon that was in this episode?
I also am not biased, but like my number one exposure to
Nixon is Futurama.
Yes.
And this one didn't go Haru enough.
There was no Haruing.
Dr. Haru.
Yeah. You want to be Huru? Huru.
Yeah, this is our I think I'd mentioned before the Doctor at one point interacts with Nixon, and that is this story here. I quite enjoyed.
I think that was another time that I like got the prophecy wrong, but I'm bad at your game. I'm very good at actually thinking about and knowing what happens. I just don't know how to interpret.
Yeah, you dig up words. You just don't put them in the right place in the Mad Libs.
No, I do. I do. I know things. I just don't know how to decipher my own thoughts, Zach.
You're just reading the hieroglyphics of your mind.
Yeah, there's no book for me.
Yeah, I shouldn't make it tea leaves because tea of all things will make you angry.
I've tried to read tea leaves. I just can't quite get the hang of it.
Yeah, I like this episode. I feel like this season, some people really love this season and some people don't. I think it's got a lot of highlights in it. I think what they do with it is very interesting, but I do like this opening quite a bit. I think it's a very strong opening.
I like the opening for the opening the most, because it starts on that like beautiful paint, or the Doctor being chased around a castle, presumably by Henry VIII, I think.
And then finding a naked Doctor underneath a woman's dress.
Oh my God. That is my favorite hiding spot.
That's your favorite way to be found.
Yes. Like, it is one of my favorite things, specifically when it comes to more historical garments. Mm-hmm. And when you have dresses that either have very large petticoats or paniers, the number one thought I always have is, damn, you could hide so many people under that. I had a friend when I was in college, and that was her master's or her like graduate student, like one of her final projects, was making this very large pannier gown. And I was like, you know, Amanda, I think you should hide like four undergrads under there just for fun. And she went, why would I do that? And I went, because it would be silly. And there's something about that where it's like, damn, I really love how silly things start. Because then it goes over to Amy and Rory reading about what had happened in a history book, and then being like, oh, that Amy specifically saying that's the Doctor, and Rory going, nah, it could be anybody. And then them having the confirmation that it's the Doctor because of I think it's a floating blue orb.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're watching TV, or they're watching like an old movie, and the Doctor is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they both miss
it. Yeah, they're watching an old Laurel Hardy, and the Doctor's running around in his fez, which you had asked if he got a fez back. He does get his fez back.
It seems though that whenever the Doctor gets a hat he likes, it gets shot off of him.
It specifically gets shot off by River.
Because I do like the sentence of, I wear Stetson now. Stetsons are cool. Which to me means he bought that hat that day. He went into one of those like tourist trap rest stops.
You think he went to a tourist? You don't think he went back in time to the Old West, grabbed one, and then came back?
No, I genuinely believe he, like, because he has a car.
Mm-hmm.
He has
He's on a car. I don't know if he has a car.
He's on a car. But that's the thing, is I'm like, there is a very good chance he stole somebody's hatchback and wanted the like true American experience of driving through the desert. Mm-hmm. He had to have stopped at like one of those rest stops that is like, come see here, real live fossils. They're not live. They are actually billions of years old. But one of those types of places that like has fossils, but it's just like a footprint. And you're not even certain if it's real or not.
Yeah.
Or they do a gag in, I think it's Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is certainly Pee-wee's Big Holiday, where he goes to one of those and they advertise having the world's most deadly snake. And it's just like a puppet. It's not real. But you know, the doctor went to one of those types of places, and that's where perhaps he bought the hat. There's also a non-zero chance he stole it off of somebody and then drove away in their car.
The hat was just in the car.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't even mean to steal the car. He just wanted the hat so bad that he broke in and stole the car, committed grand theft auto for a hat.
He remembered then in that moment as he was getting the hat on that he had somewhere to be and then drove away and slept in his car. Yeah.
For my own death.
No, but he certainly bought that hat the day of.
That's pretty good.
I am clocking some other Moffittisms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm noticing and clocking way more that there is a specific proclivity towards like these very beautiful wide shots,
mm-hmm.
like the astronaut coming out of this like placid lake surrounded by red rock and blue sky.
He's a big fan of like, I think he'll come up with an image and he'll write a story around the image in his mind.
Because like, that is a very cool image.
Yeah.
And it is something that as I was looking at it, I was like, me getting a job as a painter for a week being mm-hmm. like, I can paint that now. But legitimately being like, that's actually like a very cool, it's a really cool image.
Yeah. And then there's the other image that he wanted a nice dramatic opening for River. So even like we first see River in the prison, but they wanted her, but her proper introduction into the story is that like she's blocking the sun from the camera.
Yeah.
Holding a gun in her hand and like blowing the smoke.
A revolver.
Off of it.
Yeah. A shiny silver
dressed like, in
barely
all denim.
Used revolver.
Yeah.
River is so cool. Like, I think River might be my favorite character.
I think River is also Stephen Moffat's favorite character.
Evidently. Yeah. Yes.
I only really have one.
Oh, and then the scary flesh-colored aliens.
Yeah, the silence.
Yeah.
Another reason why I thought it would be fun to watch Dreamland before this one is that the silence are also very loosely inspired by the traditional gray alien design.
The theory that gray aliens are like what we traditionally think of and see as aliens are just humans from a very far distant future.
Mm-hmm.
The particularity of these being flesh colored and still having like very small eyes only makes them feel more human.
If you see their big long fingers.
Yeah, they're hot dog fingers.
Yeah, they're From Everything Everywhere All at Once, those are the hot dog fingers. The big hot dog fingers that summon lightning and turn you into dust.
Yeah. Not you. Only European brand Vanessa Bayer.
Who keeps asking if your name is Ben.
Yeah. Is that Ben in there?
Is that a Star Trek mask?
It was only just because she had a very like smiley personality.
Yeah, she had a very particular mouth shape that Vanessa Bayer has.
And they also put her in like very silly glasses, which I forget, like this episode that we're watching takes place in the 60s. So it makes perfect sense that she would look that way. But for a half second, you're putting it in modern times, particularly because it is 2011 and Amy has very similar model phone that I had too.
Mm-hmm.
My phones were all black. Because I'm cool.
You've not gotten far enough into Supernatural to recognize him, but Mr. Delaware the Third is played by Mark Shepard, who most famously plays a recurring demon in Supernatural.
Hell yeah, brother.
Which isn't that the vibe that man gives?
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, I really like Mark Shepard as an actor. It's very interesting. He's from England, but he's mostly known for playing English people in American shows. This was actually the first English show he'd ever done
where he's playing an American.
Yeah, where he's playing an American. So he still isn't allowed to do that.
Could have fooled me.
The older candidate Everett Delaware that we see in the beginning of the episode that is played by his father. Yeah, which is a fun. They originally had wanted him.
Did they cast that on purpose, or was that an accident?
So originally, they had wanted Mark Shepard just to wear old age makeup, and Mark went, "Why don't we just hire my dad to do this?" Ah! And so they did, because it wasn't the first time they had done that either. Mark Shepard has, I think, on a couple of occasions hired his father to play his older self.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I think he's a fun choice. I also
like him referring to the TARDIS as the Doctor's quote unquote wheels.
Yeah.
Nice wheels.
Yeah. I don't want to get in too much to the story of the episode. We'll do that when we talk about the story as a whole. I only have one little, I guess, thorn in my side from this episode where we get insulted directly.
How? But,
at one point, the Doctor says, and I quote, "There's time isn't a straight line. It's all bumpy wumpy. There's loads of boring stuff like Sundays and Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons." Tuesdays? Tuesdays are boring, Doc. Tuesdays are whose days, Doctor?
Oh, you meant, I thought you actually meant something for real.
No.
Not you getting hung up on a bit. Hey, Tuesday, my least favorite day of the week.
How dare you? That's our day.
I say that, but also we've started playing D&D on Tuesdays, so I'm warming up to them again.
Just how dare the Doctor insult us like
fine.
This?
You're fine. You'll be okay.
It's okay. He did get shot multiple times, so I guess it compensates for it.
He got shot mid-regeneration.
Yeah, so he just dies in the beach. There's some lore for you, Cassie. If you get shot mid-regeneration, you don't finish regenerating.
You die in real life. Except you don't.
Yeah, you get 196 years younger. 194, excuse me. Can't do math. Well,
the show makes me so angry sometimes. Just when I think I'm following along and I'm like, yes, I get it now. I'm here. I'm with it. Some bullshit happens and I go, no.
Well, let's see if you still think it's some bullshit as we move on to
the next
episode.
Think it's some bullshit.
Let's do the Cassie Profassi for the Day of the Moon.
For those of you keeping track at home, I don't think anybody is. But my score right now is 91 out of 148 guesses.
Wow, we've done so many Profassis. So with this, I actually do have a third question. So if you don't like one of these, we can throw it out.
I mean, I think that I think that because I did guess Florida correctly in the wrong circumstance, my treat can be a third opportunity for a point.
Okay, I'll take that then. Since you did sniff out Florida in some capacity, I'll give you a third question. So the first one is to try and maintain a record of the silence, because whenever you look away from them, you immediately forget they exist. The Doctor puts a recording device inside the same body part of each companion. Which body part do you think it is?
My first thought was nose.
Okay,
that's a little silly.
Just a little microphone drips down out of one nostril.
Yeah, well, because if it's in a body part, presumably it would have to be like inside mouth, nose, eye, ear hole, something like that.
Yeah, could be that.
So you didn't say on.
I said in.
You did say in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out what is like the most. What is the least invasive?
What would be the most sci-fi of them?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, like, I do know because I feel like I've said the right answer. I just need to choose the right answer.
Take your pick.
Am I correct?
Why would I give that away if I'm giving you three questions now?
Because I realize it's going to mess up my count.
I mean, this could be the question I throw away if you don't like it.
Maybe. Let me hear the other. How about this? Instead of
You just pick your two questions?
Yes. Okay. Instead of having it be three, I get to choose the two.
Okay. So the second question is, how do you think the silence sleep?
Fuck you.
I will also say it was hard coming up with Profasti questions for this episode.
I could do it. I could do it. I just can't. It ruins the joke.
It does ruin the joke.
Or ruins the bit, rather. And then what's your third?
My third one is, in the last episode, Canton Everett Delaware III mentioned that he was kicked out of the FBI because he wanted to get married, but it was a crime. Do you know?
Gay. He's gay. So we're keeping that one for sure.
So you're saying Canton is a gay man?
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. What else could he be?
I mean, at the time, interracial marriage wasn't legal yet.
Oh, no, he's gay.
He's gay.
Okay. I'm putting my money, my hat on that because it's written by Moffat. Moffat's queer, Rhea.
Moffat is not queer.
Damn it.
Moffat is, in fact, I think, pretty aggressively straight. He really, really likes strong, confident women that will step on him.
Who?
Hence River Song.
Yeah. Wait, who was the...
Russell T. Davies was
gay. Thank you. I was like, I remember one of them.
Yeah, no, Russell T. Davies was the showrunner before Moffat, and he is very gay.
This next episode, is it still written by Moffat?
Yes.
It's like, there's no...
Davies doesn't come back until the 14th Doctor.
There's no knowing where we're going.
Moffat is present a lot throughout almost every iteration of the show. Davies doesn't really come back until the 14th Doctor.
I was so confident and gay, I don't think that I can back off of that and say interracial.
Yeah.
Because that feels like the right answer, since that's what you said.
there's also the idea of, you know, divorce is difficult across countries. There's all kinds of reasons.
Again, gay. So I will then definitely choose that as one of the questions.
Okay.
I believe Canton to be a queer man.
Okay. A queer demon.
Aren't we all?
Specifically in Supernatural, he played Crowley, who I believe is the same name as... Isn't that David Tennant's demon?
Well, not Crowley, though. He goes by Crowley.
Oh, Crowley. Yeah, they call him Crowley in Supernatural. Mm. So kind of a fun little loop where Crowley's in Doctor Who and the Doctor's also Crowley. Delaware is queer.
Yeah.
The whole state.
Yep. I wrote Canton, just for the record. All right. I hate the other two, but I have to choose one. And
which one is more fun for you to answer?
I feel like I can be a little bit more inventive with how the silence sleep.
Okay.
Because that is a bit more ambiguous.
Okay.
So if I say some bullshittery that is completely wrong, at least I might have a little fun with it.
Yeah, go for
Me
it.
Me guessing a that particular
was the,
body
that was
part.
Why I picked the question, was to see if you would have a little fun with it.
Yeah, the specific nuttery of what body part is a camera put in. Fuck if I
didn't
I
say camera, I said recording device.
Ear. But okay, so how do the silence sleep? I'm getting bat vibes. So I do like the idea of them crawling up into a cavern or rafter and hanging upside down and sleeping. But we've had bat-like creatures before.
Mm-hmm.
They could just go full parrotfish and create a thick defensive mucus around them.
They cocoon themselves.
Yeah, that's how parrotfish sleep. They're so cute. And did you know that parrotfish are responsible for making all of the sand? So they could go full parrotfish and create a protective layer of mucus around them. Can I ask, am I correct in thinking they have the same sleeping mechanism as an animal?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so I am on the right track.
Yes. You're sniffing in the right direction. You once again have the tea leaves in front of you. You just have to read them.
This is me literally playing it. That's why I can't play those point and click games, because I can't find things ever. I have to use all my hints and then I just get angry.
You're the worst I Spy player in the world.
Oh my God, I am so bad. I love the books. I cannot ever
a game
find
of Punch Buggy in the backseat with you is just you getting beaten up relentlessly.
Because I keep finding cars that are roughly bug shaped, but they are not Volkswagens.
Meanwhile, the other person's like, found it in the face.
Oh my God. Janelle would pummel me on road trips.
I'm picturing it just be, it's your mom and dad too, just all your whole family just punching, like you getting knocked around.
Christopher flying home from the army just to punch me so hard because I can't find a bug.
Because he found a bug in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So what other animals sleep in kind of a fun way? I don't think that they build dams and rivers and have special little corridors that they sneak up into like a beaver. Beavers have their own rooms. Anyways.
Did you know there are over 200 silents in the Rio Grande?
Fuck you. That's my bit. That's my bit. I'm going to go with the parrotfish. I think that they, the silent makes their own like cocoons.
Okay. All right. So little cocoons,
either a mucus cocoon, some kind of silk, if for no other reason than on the table that we saw earlier, there was like a thick mucusy sort of substance.
Fair. I think that's not.
I'm using what I have at my advantage and saying that they create a mucus cocoon.
Okay. I think that's a fair guess. All right. So let's find out together if Canton is gay and if it had the silent sleep in big mucus cocoons as we watch The Day of the Moon.
Mucus cocoon sleeping bag. Mucus cocoon sleepy sack. Sleepy sack. That's the last. That's my.
All right. The mucus cocoon sleepy sack.
Yeah. Get yours today.
And we are back from the Day of the Moon. Cassie's currently having a Day of the Mont.
Yeah, this is my moon.
She's scratching his butt. So what do you think of the season opening, Cassie?
So I will start by saying I do not like. I thought that they did the little Amy Pond recapping.
Mm-hmm.
A la Avatar, long ago, a man fell out of the sky. I thought they just did that for the first episode.
And
I
was like, oh,
that's nice. Thank you. I love a little refresher. But then it happened in the second episode and I went, uh-oh.
Don't like that.
Uh-oh, this is not good.
Yeah, it will be a little rough for our watching because we're going to watch them so close together. But there is a part of it where it's like, if you're coming back to this and it's every week, I sort of get a little bit more because you don't know who's tuning in week to week. You don't know if they're going to be the same people who tuned in last week.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, they have never done it before.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
There is no explanation at any point in time of like who the doctor is or why the companions are so concerned with him.
Yeah.
Therefore, it feels a little out of place to all of a sudden have.
Yeah.
Now, I'm always positive that that wasn't a creative decision. I'm sure that that was from the network being like, yeah, we just want to make sure that like if you're trying to get new viewers and new and returning viewers, they need to know what's up. Like that feels like a network decision.
Well, I also know there was a lot of concern with the BBC with even continuing Doctor Who after David Tennant left, because David Tennant was such a fan favorite for the character. They were worried the show was never going to be able to keep going at the level that it had been going at. And to a certain extent, it is true that the show has never been more popular than that time. But I think that's not to do with the other actors and even the other writers. That's more to do with the era of Tumblr kind of being over.
Well, that, and I think it has everything to do with, because that was right when streaming services really started to emerge.
Yeah.
And I don't think any show truly has had such a big social impact that wasn't on a streaming service.
Yeah.
To have the legitimate fear that your show is not going to do as well as it did, very fair, because it simply wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also, if I remember it serves correctly, at the time Doctor Who had been on Netflix in America, and in the UK, it's available on its own, like BBC iPlayer, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
Britbox, I think is the other thing it's called. But it's
So there is a part of it where it's like, yeah, it's not going to be the same kind of popularity, especially because shortly after this period of time, Netflix lost the streaming rights to Doctor Who, and it bounced around from service to service.
Until now, it's on two streaming services at the same time. It's on both Max and Disney Plus.
So strange.
And also Tubi. Because the Tubi has all the classic stuff.
Yeah, they do. Oh.
Max has Doctors 9 through 13, and Disney Plus has 14 and on. It's just a very strange. It's very strange how the show is set up on streaming right now. Ignoring that little quirk, the little intro montage, let's bring in new viewers quirk. What did you think of the episode as it, on its own?
It had me until it didn't. And by that, I mean, I was following along saying, yes, yes, this is good. This is very good. Yum, 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 yum.
Okay. What was the part where it lost you?
I wrote it down as Immaculate Conception.
So you're talking like really near the end, like this.
It was the specificity of when Amy, it's like in the middle, because it was when Amy was in the little girl's room looking at the photographs, and then found a photograph of her with a baby and saying, why is that me? Mm-hmm. And that's when I wrote down Immaculate Conception.
No,
I got it right. It's Immaculate.
Yeah.
Stop trying to shoehorn it. I thought about it long and hard for this back half of the episode.
Moffat really likes to do season long mysteries.
Yes, except for the part where they did notate, like, the silence will fall very early on. And the silence truly did not really feel like a threat ever. It felt annoying in the sense that when you look at it, you know you're looking at it, but the second you look away, you forget.
Yeah, well, they also that idea of, like, they're the puppet masters. They're the Illuminati. They're the ones who, like, they will tell you to do something while you're looking at them, and then when you look away, you'll forget you saw them, but you'll remember what they told you to do. That's the part that makes them scary, is that they have steered all of human history since fire and the wheel. There is a part of it where it's like, that's a little freaky, for sure.
It's freaky, but there's also a part that's like, I would have liked to have seen more evidence of them having done that. Evidence maybe even in earlier episodes.
Yeah.
If this is a story that had been set in motion from the beginning of Matt Smith's run, where any time that there was an adventure on Earth in some distant past, you saw some sort of like remnant of a Silent, or they did linger on.
I mean, technically speaking, they could be there all the time and we just don't remember.
Okay, but that's a bullshit reason, Zach.
No, I...
You understand what I'm saying, outside of being a smartass.
I do actually agree with you. It's sort of weird that it seems like the crux of their problem is that the Silents are parasites. They're a super parasite that basically just feeds off of the work of humanity. And so there's a part of it where they are, their implication is that that is bad on its face. Like that is like, it's a bad enough thing that they puppeteer humanity the way they do. And there's a part of me that agrees with this. There's another part of me that's like, there's also just sort of a natural, like, parasite symbiotic relationship that things have. And if humans have been doing fine with them this whole time, what's the real problem? Like, is the problem just that they don't know that they're not free to do stuff, which we get into a lot of philosophical debates there.
Yeah. That falls into a category of free will, which we simply do not have time to unpack right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this show only.
Yeah.
And the fact that they at any other point did not ever show their face, because we heard time and time again that the silence will fall. Mm-hmm. Like the silence is here, whatever.
And what they meant is they will fall on the ground as all of humanity shoots them anytime they get
but
seen.
But that's what I mean, is that there was never, it feels like now is the first time that we're ever becoming cognizant and aware of them being a problem.
I also just don't like the phrase the silence will fall in this context. It just because they kept whispering it to the doctor like it was some horrible thing that was going to happen when it's
just like a prophecy of their demise.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. I don't know if that was always the intention for the silence, if he had the silence as one idea and it became something else as he was like writing it. It's one of those things where like, I don't know. It feels very strange. And I will admit, this season is not as vivid in my mind as the season before it. So there's a very real chance that even I, as someone who does know a lot about Doctor Who, is just forgetting something that loops back around on this. Cause I remember the first half of this season way better than the back half. So we will see if I'm misremembering something, but I agree that it's just sort of a weird, like, I think he came up with one thing, and then by the time he got around to writing the silence, it became something else.
Like, I don't want to call it a non sequitur.
Yeah.
It just is a very half-baked concept to bring into your first episode, because having the Doctor die within the first several minutes and then come back 200 years younger is an interesting concept. It made me think about Loki in Loki, how the version that is in that show is not the one that died in Avengers. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's not the one that went through all of Thor 2, Thor 3.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, that got choked out by Thanos. It was the last thing he did was fail to take over New York. So in that case, like, and they even do a setup for that where the Doctor at the beginning knows things like Easter Island and Jim the Fish.
Yeah, and they make it a point of bringing that up and having this very kind of sweet moment of the Doctor and River Song going through and comparing notes, basically.
Yeah, they compare journals every time they meet one another. And so this being when the Doctor knows Jim the Fish at the beginning, but does it when they come back around, it does sort of tell you that, oh, right, timey-wimey bullshit. I do like when they're comparing diaries that River says, oh, they loved you on Easter Island. Have you seen the statues?
Me too.
Because I have never, it's one of those, I forget that joke every time and it makes me laugh every time.
Because it's not something that you can, oh man, I closed my book.
Your notes are gone forever.
It's not one of those jokes that stands out as a like hearty guffaw. It's just that's funny.
Well, because your brain starts remembering Easter Island heads and putting it next to Matt Smith's face and you're like, yeah.
Because that's a joke somebody wrote after they'd made that observation on their own, for sure.
It feels like a joke Matt Smith made about himself that Steven then put in the script.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about the silence as a whole real quick. Well, actually, we should do your Profassi points before we do anything else.
Yeah, so Profassi points.
You're one for two. I think I'm going to give you 2 points for this episode, for this story, because you got 2 half points. You got one for mentioning Florida, where most of the story takes place. And you also got a half point for saying that they sleep like bats and then talking yourself out of it.
Yeah, really talking myself up about parrotfish.
Just skipping right over the right point to just really get into your points about the parrotfish.
I love parrotfish. That's the thing. So I love bats. I think I kind of love parrotfish
more. I will say that you got 2 half points, so you get 2 whole points for your one correct question that his love was a crime.
But I would have said, because you were also trying to point me in the direction of...
Yeah, it was sort of a fun one.
Segregation.
Yeah, well, I was also like, oh, there's all kinds of things it could be. I was just curious to see if the gay marriage thing was going to be like your immediate impulse.
Well, yeah, of course it was.
Yeah, I was just curious what your answer on that was going to be.
So
yeah.
You spoon fed me both right answers, though.
Yeah, a little bit. Never say I didn't do nothing for you, Cassie.
Well, I didn't need to be spoon fed right now, Zach.
Yeah, it.
So I got 2 points.
Yes, you got 2 points for this story.
93 out of 150.
Nice. Wow. 150 Profassis. And you're about two thirds right.
Yeah.
You're more right than a coin flip, at least.
Yep.
Let's talk about the silence a little bit, because I do feel like the silence was Moffat's attempt in a way to have lightning strike twice and do the Weeping Angels again.
No, that'll never. He got Weeping Angels right on the first.
Yeah, go. Weeping Angels were such a good idea.
Right out the gate. So much so that I even had a thought. This is going to shock nobody. I did have a half-baked thought of like, what if I got like an angel statue tattoo? And for me, it'll be a weeping angel. And for others, it'll be, oh, it's an homage to your grandmother. Because my grandma notoriously loved her. She had saint statues, but she specifically loved having angel iconography, specifically during Christmas. She has one of her tree like setups that she would do so often would be one that's just angels, which now terrifies me. They all came to life and transported me to an alternate dimension, but really, really hit it out of the park with the first go at weeping angels. The second time around, though, an image of an angel becomes an angel. Stupid. The silence. Stupid.
Cool, because he does that whole monologue about the anytime there's been a like breathing under your bed, or little or voices in your head, or something out of the corner of your eye. Like there's part of it where like you're trying a little too hard.
And there is a part of me that really, really does like the essence of having a creature. Mm-hmm. That you forget about the second you look away from it. Mm-hmm. Because so often that happens just in everyday life where you'll have the thought to do something, get up, go into the room you need to be in to do the thing, and then immediately forget why you came there, who you are, what you're about.
Walk into a room, forget who you are. Hey, I have no memory of this place.
Yeah, I go into rooms fully intent on like, I am going to insert task. I am going to put away my laundry, make myself a sandwich. And then I walk into my bedroom or the kitchen going, I'm walking out of here. This was me getting my steps in, I guess.
I feel like all the corpses of the silence are what they use to make Cybertrucks. Because I fucking forget how ugly they are every time I see one.
They melt down the silence
into steel parts.
Yeah, the leather interior is made out of silent skin.
And every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, God, that's ugly. And then I turn around and I look at it again. I go, oh, God, it's ugly.
There's a fucking picture of somebody. It's like a white Toyota Tacoma, but they're hauling a white book, like a bookcase, and they have it strapped into the back of their truck. But when you have a rectangle on top of a car, turns out it looks so much like a Cybertruck. So it's like, ah!
I'm very torn on the silence. They don't do a lot more with them, really.
That's the thing.
And I think it's because, I think he tried to recreate Weeping Angels, and it just didn't work the way he wanted to. I definitely think there's some interesting things there.
It feels like it has a super solid start.
Yeah.
It starts the race out really good.
Yeah.
But halfway through, it trips.
Yeah.
Like, oh, have you seen that clip? It's somebody playing Super Mario Kart 8, I think it is. The number doesn't matter. But they're Princess Peach, and they're doing so good. They're doing the, like, drift thing. They're going so fast. They get so many mushrooms. They're zip-zooming. And then they go across a bridge, and they fall off the bridge. Mm-hmm. And then they get saved by the Koopa, and then a car bumps into them, and they fall off the bridge again. And that happens they get hit by a bomb. They fall off the bridge. That happens, I think, 4 or 5 times, to the point where they go from first to ninth in a matter of seconds.
Wow, incredible.
That is what I feel about the Weeping Angels, not the Weeping Angels, the silence, is that they start out so strong, and then they just keep having these... It's sort of the same thing that like I get mad at you sometimes for, where you'll just keep on justifying why you didn't do something after I've already accepted that you didn't do the thing. You're like, yeah, well, I didn't do it because of this. Well, because of this. Well, and it's like, I fucking get it. You didn't do the thing. That's how I felt about these.
I don't feel like I do it that much, but maybe
not
I
that
do.
Much. But it happens enough that is a memory that is burned into my brain. But that's how it feels with these, where it's like, okay, cool. I get it. I fucking get it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we just kept on going through them, because I did clock the like Moffettisms, like, okay, we're going to have these silly little guys. But I knew right from the get-go. The second that we just saw, because we had the clip of Amy seeing the silence up, like, silhouetted against the sun, like, up on a hillside.
At the very beginning of the episode, of the story, yeah.
They could have done shit like that in episodes prior, where you could even had Amy, since she seems to be the, like...
audience surrogate.
Yeah. You could have had Amy or even Rory seeing these beings, like, way off in the distance, and then the doctor stop them and say, like, oh, what's going on? And then have them be like, what? Oh, I don't know. Just because then it's like, that would have been annoying to have that lead up, but then having that payoff and learning why that's been happening at the top of your series, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was mad for so many years, and now I get it. I guess for a year, so many months.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, I understand, like, the implication. Well, one, that if they didn't come up with, if they didn't fully have this idea fleshed out until now,
then don't use it.
Yeah, or use it later in the season.
Let her cook.
Because there's a part of me that's like, one thing that I do think works in the same way that the Weeping Angels worked is that they came up with an idea that is very cinematic. Like the Weeping Angels, it was always like you can look back and you can see that the angel has jolted closer to you.
Cinematic in like storytelling or visuals?
Cinematic in a way that that you really only get the impact on film.
Okay.
Like you could certainly tell it in, like, in a book or in audio, but it's just not going to hit the same. Like when.
So visual storytelling.
Yeah. Then. So like when they, especially in the second episode where they have where they start doing the, every time you see a silence, you put a tally mark on you.
Yeah.
And so Amy will just suddenly have like 20 tally marks across her hand, some across her face.
Yeah.
Her little like glowy thing in her hand will be.
I did like that. Off. And I did not guess hand whatsoever. So I'm super glad I did not choose that.
Yeah, so that was one of those where I those moments are really good. Like it's one of those where the whole is less than the sum of its parts.
That's just the case for this whole series.
I don't disagree with you. I think there are a lot of it where
I'm going to say this whole show.
You're probably still I would give you that's a very fair criticism. The show when it fucking hits, but it doesn't hit all the time. And so I would agree with you that there is an element of the show as a whole is less than the sum of its parts. Like, and that, the truth to that is also when I first wanted to show this show to you before we decided to do it as a podcast, I was just going to skip certain episodes. I was just going to kind of give you a greatest hits reel of it.
Well, yeah, but you were specifically going to start me with, because you started me on Matt Smith's first episode.
Yes, because I think the 11th Hour is one of, I think that last season is one of the easiest seasons to get into.
I can see that being the case for you. Mm-hmm. For me, tailoring a show to have me specifically fall in love with it, you had to go way the fuck back.
You know, I hadn't considered your fondness
you
for...
You had to show me K-9.
I hadn't considered your fondness for 70s cheese when I was first thinking of this.
No, because that was also not long after we started dating that you tried to show me that.
Yeah, that was pretty early.
Because that was in the...
In the before times, before the pandemic.
It was in the before times, and it was in the...
The first apartment.
Say your first See Me apartment.
Yeah, the first apartment I had when I moved out here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah, so that was a while ago, for sure.
That was before you knew me.
That's probably like 6 years ago at this point, I think.
Ew.
Right? Ew. A long time ago.
Yikes.
Yeah, something like that,
icky,
for
gross.
Sure.
6 years.
Yeah. I do like the mysteries they sort of set up here for the season with the doctor getting shot. Someone's wearing that.
With the doctor getting shot by somebody that we still don't know.
Yeah, the doctor knows
who
they are.
Because there is no confirmation that it's the little girl.
Yeah, they even sort of imply it could just be the suit doing it on its own. They say the suit can get up and walk because the little girl was afraid the spaceman was going to eat her.
Yeah, and the suit seems to be able to repair itself as well.
Yeah.
So there is nothing stopping the suit.
Because it walked out of the lake, he lifts the masks up and it's just Jim the Fish.
It's just the goldfish from Chicken Little.
I'm glad you and I were thinking the same thing. Yeah,
I'm always thinking about the fish from Chicken Little, dude. Keep up.
Yeah, I do like that. I like the one of the creepier ones is when Amy's just walking down the hall of that orphanage and a woman slides open a latch with a woman with an eye patch. And she's like, no, I think she's just dreaming, and then shuts the latch. And then Amy walks to the door and there's no latch on that door.
Yeah, I was going to dock points for those little like unresolved things. But I realized then that that would be me absolutely going back on what I just said of setting up mysteries and having those. So those are little things now that I'm like, okay, cool. If there is no fulfillment on those, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, I can promise you there is a fulfillment on that one. And I think I don't know how you're going to feel about it. I'm curious.
I mean, we will definitely see. I will like very comfortably plant myself in the, I think River Song overall might be my favorite character. If for no other reason, then I really appreciate that her actor.
Oh, Alex Kingston.
Thank you. Alex Kingston, a babe. Because I'm not sitting here being like, oh, she's so hot. But I'm like, that's a babe.
I mean, I did say that Stephen Moffat likes some women with some step on me energy.
Oh my God. It's just her curly hair, her pillowy lips.
Yeah. And then her gun that she says she'll shoot 7-8 for you.
Ugh. Oh my God, I'm a screamer. That's another spoiler. Oh, River.
How's that for a spoiler?
I wrote it down.
I wrote it too. It was, yeah, I'm quite the screamer. Now there's a spoiler for you.
After, because that also happened after the doctor saying, what, you think you could just shoot me? And she goes, they're American! And they all cock their guns.
Yeah, and then the doctor is like, oh, right, and gets from the chair with his hands up.
Not having to do so much with River being a babe. River being smart.
Yeah.
River being aware of her space.
The moment at the end where Rory's like, what kind of doctor are you? And then she shoots someone else and goes, archaeology. Which she's got a very, like...
She says, archaeology, I love a tomb, as she's walking out of the carnage she caused.
Yeah, there is sort of like a female Indiana Jones vibe from her.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, I would love River Song and the Crystal Skull so much.
I mean, that's sort of what this was. There were
River Song tall, and the Temple aliens. Of Doom.
Oh, speaking of the silence, there was another thing that I forgot to mention. They do have an interesting like mishmash of the vibe, like where they do have like that general gray alien shape with the big head and the long arms, but then they also have a G-Man vibe because they're all wearing black suits.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do like.
Very Slender Man.
Yeah, I do like that they're all having to wear suits because they...
That's what they chose.
Yeah, they have to wear suits because their heads are too big for t-shirts. As soon as they put it on, the collar's too big.
They could just be wearing jumpsuits. They don't have to... You just wanted to say that their heads were too big for t-shirts. Huh?
I did indeed want to say that. Okay. Fun fact for you, the main actor playing the Silence is the same actor that played the werewolf in Prisoner of Azkaban. Not the actor for Remus Lupin, the stunt actor that was that did the capture for the werewolf.
Okay.
Right? Isn't that a weird, like, the two things he's done?
Did you look that up or did you already know that?
I looked that up. Yeah.
Okay.
I was looking up the actor. And when you look up the actor, the two things he's known for are the Silence.
Is he a big dude?
He's tall and very skinny.
So like a Doug Jones type.
He's a former dancer. I believe he's German. Max van der something. But he's a very tall, skinny man. I mean, he has to be because Matt Smith is not a short man. Matt Smith is, I think, 6'2". And he's clearly like looking down on Matt Smith most of the show.
Well, that's also having
Karen Gillan
to do
is 5'11 and all. He's also
well, that's also
over
having
her.
To do with the way that the suit is constructed, too. I'm sure that the head for the suit starts at the actor's forehead.
Yeah.
Or like right where his eyes are. So the actor's eyes can be, you know, looking out of like a neck flap or something.
That could be for sure. I honestly don't know.
I would have to take a good long look at.
Yeah, I've never
at the Silence.
I've never seen the costume like part on, part off. So I've only ever seen it fully on or fully off. So I'm not 100%
because it's also like the hands are very easy to just add the like extra extra ligature, not
they just mounted the hot dogs on their fingers.
Yeah, and the extra phalanges. I used that word the other night when I was hosting and people laughed at me. I was like, that's what they fucking are.
The fucking phalanges.
Use your digits then. But yeah, there are lots of ways that you can make body parts unnatural looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give it credit. I do like that the silence were all practical.
Yeah, I thought those were really neat too. Like the only part of it that wasn't is their mouth when they're doing their like Dementor's kiss. Speaking of Harry Potter. Is the that's when they do like just put a dark circle over their mouth. Oh, and
yeah.
Fade it.
Yeah, that's just the like we're gonna Photoshop a vacuum.
Yeah,
and go.
Yeah, so that's the only time where it's not. And even then, I the effect is subtle enough that I don't mind all that much.
It's also you would kind of need something like that to happen eventually just to give these more life, because they never lingered on one long enough that it mattered if you saw them blink or not.
Yeah. I also think there's a part of it where just like because like what makes them eerie is that they have no mouth and they don't need to speak. They communicate telepathically.
Very what's the word I'm thinking? Mind flayer.
Yeah. So there's a part like, of it where
even their sculpt, though, very mind flayery.
Yeah. And there's a like because they even have like the mind flayers, I believe, have those same. I mean, their fingers are more like
they have. It's the same thing of like instead of having five digits, they have like three.
Yeah. Their fingers are more like bony than the silences are. But yeah, there's definitely a very similar silhouette to them.
I'm not saying the silence are mind flayers, but I'm not saying that.
They're more mind players because they will manipulate you to do stuff.
Ooh. You like that?
I did like that, yes. Ooh. I really like the guy they have playing Nixon. Like, I know you talked about him being a little too tan.
He's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but I like her. The
he really leaned in. I think, you know how we talk about to do specific voices, you have to have a phrase.
Yeah.
Or it helps if you have a phrase to get into it. I think his was just the letter P.
Yeah, because he would do the same thing. And he would always say, the American people.
Yeah, I think that was his own.
That would trigger the jowls. Phrase. That would trigger the jowls in his cheeks.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, is that somebody that is that an actor that they were like, you're gonna be playing Nixon? Or they went, we're looking for a Nixon impersonator.
I don't know
specifically.
As far as I could tell, this is the only time he's played Nixon. So it might just be he's an actor that's got just a good Nixon in him.
I wouldn't want a good Nixon in me. It is possible he has a good Dick Nixon in him.
Yeah, I like the actor playing Nixon. He's got a good job. There's also a part of him where what I like is that he's playing almost constantly confused, but just going with it. Like he's aware that the doctor and their friends are all helping and they're doing the right thing, but he does not understand what the hell they're doing. So he just has to look at them like, all right, I guess I'm going with this then.
It's the use of the impenetrable, like, prison block that they build around the doctor.
Yeah.
And then having so many people exit and having the military around them just being like,
you've been in there for days.
I think this is fine.
Just like, yeah, they don't know one can get out of here. Did you know the president can get in?
Like that was one mechanic I went, this is stupid. I'm in.
I'm just very sad we didn't get to see the reaction of Richard Nixon reacting to the TARDIS.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that. Zach, would you please?
It's bigger on the inside. I don't know where there's so many harooms.
Thank you for tickling that fancy for me.
Yeah, it's very interesting to just pick. Like, I wish we'd got. I wonder if that was something they had planned on that had to cut for time.
No.
Because that would have been fun.
I like your version better. Speaking of the TARDIS, though, we got to see underneath the control deck.
We got to see under the control deck. We also got to see the TARDIS turn invisible.
We haven't seen it yet. We've only now heard mention of it twice. The TARDIS's swimming pool that River Song flings herself off of a building and lands into.
Does a swan dive? Like tilts herself back,
jumps
pulls her
backwards
hand together
as she's flipping through the air.
Which seems to imply that the TARDIS swimming pool is on a wall.
Which seems to imply that the TARDIS swimming pool, I think, is just a whole room. I think it's a whole room filled with water.
It's a lava lamp. It's a living lava lamp. I also really like Mark Shepard's Canton, Delaware. I think he's a very fun character. There's a part of me that's a little, because he's such a good.
He does a wondrous job.
He's such a charming actor.
Yeah.
Like, for someone that I think even he would say he's not, like, conventionally attractive. But there's something about him that's just very captivating. Like, there's a part of his always got a little bit of, like.
He reminds me a little bit of, forgive me if I botch his name, Jolo Trugo? Truglo?
Trulio?
Yes.
Joe Trulio from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Very, very, similar in that, where it's like, I just, like, you seem like you're a safe person to be around, and you are so charming and likable.
Yeah, he's always seems like he's got a little bit of a smirk on his face, an eyebrow raised, like, charmingly. And there's, like, even when he's, like, mystified by the TARDIS, he's like, how long has Scotland Yard had this? There's a part of it that's
it's him still trying to make sense of it and, like, technically doing his job while being absolutely flabbergasted.
Yeah, there's a part of him that's just endearing as an actor to watch.
Yes.
Around this same time, do you remember in the classic show, Colonel Lethbridge Stewart, Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart?
Yes, I do remember the Brigadier.
Yes. So the Brigadier had been a mainstay character through most of the classic show.
Yeah.
And they just never really brought him in for the modern series.
Yeah.
But about this time, the actor that played Lethbridge Stewart died. I believe if memory serves correctly, I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong. Intense fans, but I believe he died between this season and the next season. There's a part of me that really wishes they had kept him as, like, the new Brigadier.
Me as well.
Like, just a charming character that works for I'm sure it's the American government, but you could easily just have him switch to the British government, that just works for the government, that knows the Doctor exists, shows up periodically as, like, an ally.
Or, like, I'm biased. Have more show or have more episodes take place in the United States.
Yeah, that's one of the. Well, I don't necessarily know that would need to happen, but
Well, no, but if you have this character that you want to, like, plug in.
Yeah, especially a character that you've shown will be. The Doctor was willing to invite them to his wake, basically. With the day the Doctor dies, like, he called him up and invited him there. There's a part of me that really wishes that he had come up more often. Just as, like, and he's also just a really.
Man, that just made me think. I mean, there's nothing saying that there wasn't a fifth envelope that went to Captain Jack Harkness.
I mean, John Barrowman's certainly not invited now. And I do wonder if part of the reason they didn't is because he was too busy filming Supernatural, because that show continued to run for fucking 15 years.
Something else that I've been ruminating on is that, in addition to the letters being sent out by, quote, someone who trusted you most in the universe, and the Doctor saying, and who's that? And River Song goes, spoilers. This is the first time that we as the audience are on the same page as River.
Yep, that is true. This is one of the few times we know something the Doctor doesn't, but also the Doctor does, because time is weird. I do appreciate that Moffat was more interested in playing in the space of time, for lack of a better term, like, using the fact that they are time travelers and therefore things don't necessarily have to happen in the right order.
Well, no, and that branches back to something that I've been really thinking about, and something that I really do like a lot, is how River Song's and the Doctor's, like, stories.
Oh, it gets so heartbreaking this time, too.
Because it's. If, correct me if I'm wrong, we're at, like, the middle of their story.
I mean, I would technically guess. Yeah, I would say probably.
Because if for no other reason than right now in River's timeline, she is starting to become very aware of the fact that there is going to be a time when she knows everything about the Doctor and he knows nothing about her.
Yeah, I would say if we're going to go across the spectrum of the time they know each other, I think the Doctor is about a third of the way in, and River's is two thirds of the way in, if that makes sense.
So, yeah, we're in the, like, middle ground.
Yeah. Like, they're very close to a convergence point. where they know equally about each other. But the part where he's like, where she's like, yeah, we're meeting in reverse, his first or my last and vice versa. His first or my last and my last or his first and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, when they kiss and the doctor's like, well, first time for everything. And River goes, and the last, like, there's a part of it that's genuinely like, oh, my heart.
It's the fanfic girly in me that's like,
It's such a well, because it's also not necessarily, they're not necessarily meeting in true reverse order. There is an element of truth to it. But one of her last moments is with the 12th Doctor. So it's not 100% true.
Yeah.
Without going too deep into how that works out. But there is definitely an element of like, there's enough truth to it that it still hurts to see, to go, oh, God.
Yeah. It's like watching, it feels very akin to like watching a movie that does have a very sad ending and starting it being very optimistic about the movie you're watching, but then knowing how it ends.
Mm-hmm. You at one point had referred to it as being, is it feeling like the time traveler's wife?
It is, though.
Yeah, only this is the time traveler's time traveling wife.
My God. No, it's more akin to, we haven't watched it yet together because it wrecks me up every single time. Mm-hmm. But it's a movie called About Time. And it's got Rachel McAdams and what's his, he's one of the Weasleys. He's also one of the captains in a.
I know you're talking about. I'm blanking on the actor's name, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah, it's, and Bill Nye is in it as his dad.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful movie. It makes me so sad.
Going back to Richard Nixon a little bit, there's a couple of times that just knowing what we know about Nixon here in the present is kind of amusing. There's a part where River is introducing the concept of Nixon to Rory and Amy, because Rory and Amy are from the UK. They may not know as much about American history as us that grew up in America do.
Mm-hmm.
Where they go, Vietnam, Watergate, and she goes, there's some good stuff too, and the doctor goes, not enough. And then River accuses him of being a hippie in that moment. But there's a part of it that's like, no, the doctor's right. There was not enough good about Nixon
like the idea of Nixon recording all of these like mysterious phone calls on tapes. And then me going, I do like them using the tapes. And then us being American going, that's what was destroyed.
That's the thing, is there's a part of it that's true. He had told Nixon to keep recording stuff in case the silence were influencing the room at all. But that was partly why Nixon was recording the tapes, is he was extremely paranoid about what was going on at any given point during his meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had wanted them for his own records. There's also a part at the end when Nixon is talking to Canton about the person he wants to marry. And he goes, this person you're looking to marry, black? He goes, yes, sir. He goes, well, I'd like to think I'm not necessarily as restrictive as people say. I could be a little more liberal. And even before we get to the like double joke of it being he is, there's a part of it where it's like, no, Nixon, you are not more liberal than that. You were racist as fuck. You were openly racist as fuck. Like, no.
Gaslight gatekeep.
Yeah, there's a recording of him talking to Ronald Reagan. Or Ronald Reagan is talking about how the joke is basically like, it seems like black people seem so uncomfortable in shoes. They want to be running around like monkeys with no shoes on. And Nixon is laughing his ass off at it. It's one of the most racist conversations I've ever heard two people have in my life. And so there's a part of it where like, even as a joke where it's like, I could be a little more liberal. Like, no, you can't. Nixon, shut up.
Not even no, you can't. No, you won't.
Yeah, no. The only way you're a little more liberal is you made the EPA. That's it. Everything else about you as a person fucking sucks. So just as a no. That's why I do like say hi to David Frost for me. That was the interviewer that got him to say if the president does it, it's not illegal. Basically made him have to hide from public life for the rest of his days after not being president anymore.
There, I do have something else in this episode that is, I thought we had buried this hatchet, and I thought that we had let this like finally fucking rest. Mm-hmm. Amy's feelings towards Rory and Rory being uncertain how Amy feels towards him.
I do think this is putting a little bit of a button on it.
I sure fucking hope so, because I'm getting real tired of this insecure ass constantly being upset at Amy, at the doctor, when, like, of course she fucking loves you. You waited for her for 1,000 years.
2,000 years.
2,000 years, Mr. Last Centurion. Yes, your feelings for her, she will not ever be able to match those.
In fairness to Rory, she did compliment his stupid face. And Matt Smith does have a bit of a stupid face.
They both have a stupid face. And that's the part that's upsetting, is when, like, they finally have this moment where he's like, you called my face stupid. She's like, yeah, of course, I always do.
I always call you stupid.
But then it's him at the end of the episode getting angry that Amy told the doctor that she was pregnant before telling him. Mm-hmm. And he brings up a very good point. He's a nurse.
I do appreciate Amy's point of just, like, she wants to talk to the doctor first because the doctor would know, hey, we fucked in the TARDIS. Is my baby going to be a time baby?
I mean, it is and it isn't, because we see at the very end, the little girl is dying and approaches a man in the alleyway digging through trash and then says, no, I'm dying. It's fine. I can just do this.
Tang.
And I know that we as the audience are supposed to go, oh, she's half Time Lord. I know that that's not the case. I'm like pretty sure that it's just not a red herring. But it's that is a twist yet to come. Mm-hmm.
The time baby.
Yeah. The time child.
I do like that she asks if it would have a time head. And the doctor's like, what is a time head? And she's like, I don't know. But what if it had one? That feels very authentic. That feels like something you would say in that situation. What if the baby has a time head?
And I had
a time head is what the Clock King has in the Harley Quinn show.
Yes. And then something else, I don't remember if I said it out loud, but I had the thought very early on that the doctor will doctor the moon landing footage.
That's why he's called. We find out that's why he's called the doctor.
Well, no, because I was like, I know for a fucking fact, if we're dealing with moon landing shenaniganery, it's going to be something having to do with the footage. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, in fact, there is a part of it where they have absolutely right.
They got some remarkable video off of a 2011 video phone.
Yeah, of a
broadcasted in HD.
Tricking a silence into saying you should kill us all on sight. One of the most fucked up things the doctor has ever done. Turned the entire human race into genocidal maniacs.
I love it. I mean, it's so mean.
There's a part of it where it's like, there's a part of me that likes it. There's a part of me that we're getting away from the idea of the doctor being like this holier than thou figure that the 10th doctor kind of was, where he's like, I never would. He's like waving a gun in the guy's face. I would never shoot this. And now the doctor's like, I instead would make all of humanity shoot them for me.
There is a part that does feel a little scummy, because the doctor is so devout on his, like, I would never shoot somebody. I would never kill somebody. But then River Song going, psh, I would. And then the doctor making every human into a violent killing machine against this one species of alien.
Yeah, it just becomes a personal hangup for him.
Because that's been his whole thing, is that he would never be responsible for the genocide of an alien race. Meanwhile.
Yeah, and then he is.
Which, to be fair, him saying that he doesn't want to be responsible for the genocide of an alien race did come from Dreamland. So I don't know how authentic that statement can actually be.
Yeah, one of those where it's just like, I feel like you would make an exception for the Daleks. In fact, you very clearly did for a while. The 9th Doctor literally told who he thought was the last Dalek to kill itself. So.
You want me to die? haven't done a Dalek impression in a minute.
So with that, how are you feeling about this season coming up?
I feel like it's going to ebb and flow. Okay. I do genuinely believe that there will be some very good moments that I can really get excited about and, like, am amped up for. And they will be buttoned by some of the most annoying things.
Well, let me ask you how you feel about this. How do you feel about Doctor Who and pirates?
tantalated. I am intrigued.
Because that is the next episode, is called The Curse of the Black Spot.
Oh, no.
And it is it's the Doctor on a pirate ship. And we'll see some of that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Hey, Zach.
Yes.
What is a pirate's favorite letter?
The C. It'd be the C that they love.
Well, thank you for taking the wind out of my sails, Zach.
On the next time. That's the great thing is no matter which one you say, you could just say the other letter. You just go, no, it's R, obviously.
No. I was going to tell the joke, but it's fine. Cut to credits.
I can't believe the Doctor would disrespect Whosdays like this. It's a sacred tradition dating back like 14 whole months. I swear, the only people I get any respect from are listeners like you. If you'd like to show us some of that respect, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening now, or maybe give us a like or 5 stars to help the algorithm lead us to other Whovians out there. You might respect us over on Blue Sky, Twitter, or Threads at WIMDPOD. That's WIMDPOD. If you'd really like to support us, you can join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you get access to episodes a whole week early. You can even join the likes of Andrew Blewett and David Gansel at our $5 tier to get a special thanks here in the outro. Thanks, guys! Next week, we set sail for the seven seas as we watch The Curse of the Black Spot. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whosdays.